the same Tony and Jenny you've come to love give you an extra dose every week.
I've done murals.
You have done murals. Off in the corner is really odd. There was a questionable chipmunk and a squirrel.
On their other podcast, Junkin' with Jenny.
And I don't know if one was giving a piggyback ride to the other.
They were making a churl.
That was questionable.
Here's how it works. You send in questions and pictures about items or spaces in your home that you want to repurpose. Then Tony and Jenny give you ideas and techniques on how to do it.
Letter says, hi, Tony and Jenny. I just purchased my first house. I'm discovering the joy of fixing and changing things to my taste. It's not cheap.
And how to do it on a budget.
We did levels, Jerry. Levels.
From chandeliers to bars to sleds to you name it, Tony and Jenny have you covered.
That stuff you don't need to prime or anything. It just goes right on the metal and stays right on the metal.
With unique ideas on how to make reclaimed items the star of your home, complete with insight on what works and what doesn't.
The plumb bobs are stupid f***s. And
I think it's the first time anyone has sworn on this show.
Well,
congratulations.
Whatever. It's Junkin' with Jenny.
There you go.
Watch each episode at junkinwithjenny.com and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts.
50 Shades of Grout.
50 Shades of Grout. That's great.
All the things you can do inappropriately with one bottle of grout.
It's a great product.
Junkin' with Jenny.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802. Website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Submit your story there. You can also write in, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want to support the show, ghostpodcast.com, go there. You can become an EPP, extra podcast person is what we call it. Get all the bonus episodes of our program every single week. You also will get the satisfaction deep down in your heart of knowing that you're keeping the show on the air.
There you go.
Deep down in the dark crevices of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I'm going with that.
Okay.
Anyhow, ghostpodcast.com for that. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
Here in a squirrel-free world?
No, not squirrel-free.
I didn't see any today. I'm wondering how I said on the last show, I don't know how effective squirrel catching is going to be for our neighbors that are trying to move squirrels. But I've seen fewer of them.
I am just ornery enough because I like the squirrels to take some of the leftover crack and eat nuts that we have and kind of just set them out. Let them know that this is a squirrel safe spot.
It is a squirrel safe spot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ornery enough to go and get some squirrel traps myself, go up the road to an area that is much more lush with squirrels and import them back here.
Then we would officially be the asshole neighbor of the year.
It's like, what are you doing? You're getting rid of the squirrel? Really? Well, guess what? I just got 10 more.
Yeah.
And here they are. You know, it'd be like on Christmas vacation where the squirrel jumps out of the tree.
Uh-huh.
I would literally open the back of my truck and just like 10 squirrels would come running out. And yes, that does imply that I'd be driving around with open squirrels in my truck. And I think Missouri has a open squirrel law where you cannot have live squirrels running around frivolously within your vehicle.
Well, that makes sense.
As you move down the road.
They don't have an open container law, so they'll have an open squirrel
It's an open squirrel law. You can drive with liquor open. If you're the passenger in this state, I guess.
It's still messed up.
It is. It's messed up. But there is restrictions on squirrels not being. I made that up completely, but it did sound kind of funny.
Open squirrel law. Open squirrel law. Yeah.
Anyway, we are friends of the squirrels here at Real Ghost Stories Online. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. When I was a kid, I remember in my neighborhood or all around our city, they would have, it was like a safe house type sign that you could put in your window. It was kind of like neonish. It really did stand out. And it was one of those things where if you were walking down the road and you were a kid, because a lot of kids did that back in those days, you know, we'd go play with friends down the road and mom and dad didn't seem, you know, it wasn't like must drop you off and watch you enter the door and all that.
Uh-huh.
Different place and time. But they did have houses that were, I don't know how inspected they were, but I guess they were somewhat inspected. And it was like a safe house. If you were a kid walking down the street and you did encounter trouble, either, you know, somebody kind of following you, or maybe, you know, your friend got into a bike accident, mm-hmm. and you needed to find someone, a grown up that could help you, you knew kind of where those houses were because you saw them quite a bit.
I've never seen them on houses. I've seen them at gas stations. They have that safe place sign.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess similar. I don't know if the house thing is even still a thing. This, again, was like late 80s, early 90s. Uh-huh. But the funny thing is, it seemed to be on some of the scariest houses.
Yeah.
I just remember seeing those, like, I don't know if I'm gonna take my chances with a creeper down the road that's following me versus going into this haunted-looking home and knocking on the door. But, yeah. I was getting to the point of we should have a safe squirrel sign.
Safe
so the squirrels know this is a house.
They can read and they would understand what our symbols meant.
Well, you have to put it in squirrel language. And there's ways of doing that. There's ways of doing that.
And what would a safe squirrel sign look like?
It's
Tony?
Like Braille, but it's acorns. And
they read acorns?
Well, yeah. You know, they, yeah.
Okay.
They read acorns. I don't know. It would work.
No.
It would work, and the squirrels
would
work.
Is that your go-to when I back you into a corner? It'll work.
Yes, it'll work. You'll see.
Uh-huh.
Just wait.
So,
okay. Anyhow, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online, the show that's safe for squirrels. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Lisa from Houston. I think I got cut off. Anyway. So real quick, I was in a abusive relationship with my ex-husband, who is the biological father of my son. During that time, we were living in a three-bedroom apartment with other, like, two other couples. And so it was very crowded, and then not to mention that, like, all this abusiveness was going on when nobody was around or nobody was watching. So it was a really stressful time in my life. And now, the things that occurred during that time was weird because that apartment complex had been around for so long and nobody ever really reported anything weird until this phenomenon was happening. So we were, all of this stuff was going on. My roommates would come to me and tell me about weird things going on in the apartment. Like they would see shadow beings. They would feel really like somebody watching them all the time. We started to hear, I would hear noises. There would be lots of weird noises going on in that apartment. And it was a first floor apartment and it wasn't really attached to another person. So it was weird that we would be hearing things. My friends believed, the ones that lived with us, believe that I had done something in that really stressful moment in my life. Maybe because of all the negative energy, I was like hiding. I was consistently hiding the abuse all the time from them, from anybody. And I had this just internal negative energy going on. And it apparently, they think in hindsight, of course, during the time this was all going on, they didn't know about the abuse yet. But they were starting to see things. They were starting to feel things. They were starting to see random shadows. We kept finding, like, feces on the wall, which was weird. We kept finding toilet papers or random objects just on the ceiling for no reason. A lot of weird stuff was going on, and the most I experienced was seeing the things on the ceiling, because I would walk into the room and there would be like toilet paper rolls stuck to the ceiling, and it would be really weird. And I used to just think that it was my roommates, but they were freaking out because they didn't know what it was because nobody put it there. So, some years later, after I got divorced and kicked my ex out and all of that, I had other, about 6 months afterwards, when my ex left, I stayed in those apartments with my friends, and the friends that moved into the room that my ex-husband and I were sharing, they started, their walk-in closet started to harbor all sorts of weird stuff. Like, they started seeing little shadow people going in and out. Everybody in the apartment was having nightmares, the same similar nightmares, which was weird. And then it wasn't until years later that my ex-husband told me that during that phenomenon, during that time of our lives, there was a moment in time where he was living there with us, and one episode where he got really abusive, and then he never did it afterwards. And the reason he told me later was that he didn't was because he kept having nightmares of some kind of woman or demon, half woman or something, being attacking him, and he would wake up with scratches. And it happened every single night he was living there. So he told me that was the time that he was trying to make things work, and I wasn't having it anymore. I was so angry, and I hated him so long. I mean, even to this point in time, it's been 7 years. My son's 9 now. This happened when he was 2. It's been 7 years, and I'm not wholeheartedly forgiving him for the things that he did to me. And we don't talk or anything like that. I talk to my ex-husband maybe like once every 2 years or something. He's not in my son's life. So it was a lot of harboring negativity. And at that time, I loathed him and I hated him. But I wasn't experiencing nightmares like everyone else around me in that apartment we were. Because I was already going, I guess, through my own hell, personal hell, that I wasn't thinking. And they think that maybe I was projecting my feelings to the things around me, and that's why everyone else was experiencing things around the same time. And then about 6 months after all of that had happened and my ex was out of my life and he was gone from the environment, that's when everything stopped. And it just never came up again. And it's because it was such a relief off my shoulders, or, you know, I never experienced anything like that again, any kind of hatred, deep-hearted hatred. There was a point during our time, during our relationship, where I felt like I could have really ended his life and not have cared, because I hated him so much. And I think that all that energy, all that negative energy, just kind of portrayed into the things or the environment I was in, and also onto the people around me who were close to us, they're living with us, but then weren't sure exactly what was going on either. And it wasn't until I had told them everything, like, I don't know, maybe about 6-7 months afterwards, that I actually... They had some suspicions, but they weren't sure, so they couldn't do anything about it. And it wasn't until I told them the truth that, like, everything stopped. And I think they think I had a lot to do with it. You know, I've always felt random spirits coming by, and my mom has always taught me when it comes to spirits, she would just be like, they're probably just coming to say, hey, just be nice to them and let them stay with you as long as they need to, and let them move on. And that's always how it's been with me. Like, every now and then something kind of follows me around, or I think that maybe my family, and I are just kind of like temporary conduits for spirits. Every now and then we'll feel something, somebody's hanging out. And maybe it's just because the spirit needs to hang out for so whatever reason, and then they move on. And it's always been like that. My mom's house has always been like that, too. It's not necessarily the house as it is my mom, because it happens to me. We've had a lot of pets that passed away that come back to say hey, and we're just not afraid of those kinds of things. But anyways, that's my experience. I've been perfectly happy with my life since the end of that relationship, so nothing. I've never felt that kind of hatred or anything like that ever since, and so nothing outlandish has happened. But I think that because as empaths, we are consistently feeling things around us all the time, that maybe we're just more sensitive to it, and negative energy like that can backfire and just latch onto the things around us. Anyways, that's my story. I don't know. I have only been listening to the show for a little while, so I'm like 3 years behind that I have to catch up with all your shows, and I plan to. So I'm not sure when I'll be, if you've tackled abuse or domestic issues, violence and things like that, and the things that can attach to that energy yet. So, but if not, here it is. Anyways, I love your show. Keep listening. And take care. Bye.
Well, it's obviously certainly never an excuse for anything like that, but it's interesting. We have had tie-ins with that before.
Yeah. There's a few suspicious things, though, that she said. One of them being like feces on the wall and stuff mm-hmm. like that makes you wonder what else was going on besides, mm-hmm. you know, the negative energy. Because I think she was thinking that maybe the negative energy conjured this bad thing, but I'm wondering if the bad thing was there
mm-hmm.
and then made everything worse.
And that seems to be a lot of times, you know, negative tends to interact with negative and amplifies mm-hmm. something that some bad choices that someone may be already be making.
Yeah.
But it is not the first time we've had something like that discussed on the show. Mm-hmm. So thank you for sharing that experience with us. We do greatly appreciate it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, this is Sarah from North Royalton. I had called in a couple weeks ago, and I had a story about my grandparents, but now I have two stories about a mausoleum that's out here. There's a mausoleum called Knollwood Mausoleum out in Mayfield Heights, Ohio, and it's really well known for it's Tiffany stained glass windows. It's really gorgeous if you ever get a chance to go there. And it's huge. There's like 7,000 interments there just in the mausoleum. The cemetery attached to it, I think, has like 25,000 burials or something. But anyway, it's huge. Each floor is probably about the size of a football field. And it's really easy to get lost in. There's like hallways that lead to nowhere. And there's one stairway that goes up to the second floor where if you blink, you'll miss it. So it's like, once you get up to the second floor, it's really difficult to find your way out. So anyway, I go there with my birth mother the first time, probably about 6 or 7 years ago. And I was locked. It had closed early because they were doing construction on the second floor. So we got there, and it was already like a dark kind of day. It was like rainy and just kind of creepy. And so we get there, and it's locked. And so I think, you know, I'm thinking, okay, great. Well, what a shame. Can't go into this creepy mausoleum right now because it's locked up. Well, my birth mother takes out her credit card and unlocks the door. And I'm like, we're not doing this. I'm like, I'm not breaking into a mausoleum. She says, oh, we're not breaking into it. The door was open. I said, yeah, the door's open because you just unlocked it. So point being, we went in there. I followed her in. And the only lights that were on at the time were the emergency lights. And they were flickering. So it was like, probably every third light or so was on, and it was flickering, and it was dark in there, and I was already starting to freak out. I have no problem with being in cemeteries because it's an open space, but being like in an enclosed space kind of freaks me out. So we're walking around, and we get up to the second floor, you know, find the stairway, walk up there, and we're looking at all the big Tiffany stained glass triptychs, and they have this big angel triptych window there that's just absolutely gorgeous. And all of a sudden, I start hearing, we start hearing noises, like people walking around and knocking on stuff, and I dodge into one of the little alcoves where they have the cremation urns, and we're looking around, and all of a sudden, we see somebody walk out of the door, and it was really dark, so we couldn't tell if it was, like, a person or a shadow or whatever, and I'm losing my shit. So, we see somebody walk out, and we're trying to hide because we're like, don't know if it's a person or not, and we're not supposed to be in here, so great. Well, we find out that it was actually the maintenance staff that was there just cleaning up after hours or whatever. So at this point, I'm freaking out because we're in this dark mausoleum, the lights are flickering, there's somebody in there, we broke in, we're not supposed to be in there. And when I get really nervous, I have to pee. So I tell her, I'm like, listen, I'm like, I got to get out of here because I have to go to the bathroom really bad. And I am not peeing in the mausoleum bathroom with, like, dead people in the walls around me. Like, I couldn't do it. And she's like, oh, come on, you know, don't be so scared. So I go into the bathroom, and I'm like, I can't be in here by myself, because she was standing outside the door. I'm like, I can't be in here by myself. I'm like, I need you to be in here with me. And she comes in, and I'm like, can you hold my hand? So I'm like reaching underneath the stall, you know, and she's holding my hand, because I'm like, I was so scared I couldn't even pee. And so we get out of there, and we're trying to find our way out, and this whole place is like a maze. So we're trying to dodge maintenance on the way out, because we broke in. We're not supposed to be in there. So we eventually found our way out, and that was that's the first story. Second story, my parents live right across the street from it, and so sometimes I'll go there before work just to take pictures, because the stained glass windows look different in different lighting. So I go over there, and it was sort of towards their closing time, and I'm walking around taking pictures. And my alarm goes off on my phone to let me know, hey, time to go to work. So I thought, you know, wouldn't it be funny if all of a sudden all of the lights start going out? And I'm just thinking this literally 2 seconds after I think it, the lights at the end of the hallway go out, and then in the next section they go out, and then in the next section they go out, and finally the lights, like, right above me turn off. And I am like, okay, I wasn't being serious. So I say the first thing that comes to mind, I start going, hey, there's somebody still alive in here. And I hear somebody from far away, because the whole mausoleum is like a big echo chamber. So I hear someone from far away going, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Do you need me to turn the lights on again? And I said, yes, please, can you please turn on the lights? I'm like, I'm still in here. I need to get out. And so he's like, okay, well, where are you? I said, I'm on the second floor. So he says, okay, well, I'm going to come up and get you. Just wait there. And I'm like, okay, this guy sounds like really urgent. Like, I just need the lights on so I can, like, find the exit sign. And so I walk back to where the staircase is, and I meet one of the maintenance guys there. And this guy is, like, red in the face. Like, he is, like, sweating. He's freaking out. He's like, so he says, well, where's the other person? I said, I'm right here. I was the one that was yelling at you. He's like, are you serious? You just gave me a heart attack. And I said, why? And he says, think about it. You know, we're closing, I'm turning off the lights, and all of a sudden I hear someone go, there's someone still alive in here. And he's like, you're in a mausoleum. We just interred somebody today. I thought that somebody was, like, stuck in the wall. And I start laughing. I said, I'm sorry. It was just the first thing that came to mind. The lights are going off. And, you know, I said, well, hey, at least now you have, you've got a fun story to tell your family when you go home tonight. Yeah, I was at work today, and somebody started yelling in the mausoleum that they were still alive. But yeah, so I broke into a mausoleum with my birth mother, and then I almost got locked in the same mausoleum this was probably about a year ago. So I haven't been back ever since then, because it seems like every single time I go there, I either, like, almost get locked in, or the lights go out, or, you know, there's a power outage, and I'm just like, you know, I give up. But yeah, so anyway, if you get a chance to ever come out here, go to that mausoleum. It's really beautiful. And again, it's called Melwood Mausoleum in Mayfield Heights. So thanks so much for the show, and I hope you guys play this, because I'm sure somebody will get a really good laugh out of it. All right, bye-bye.
I think thinking that somebody was still alive, like, locked in,
mm-hmm.
I think that'd be the last thought I'd have when I'd heard, you know, somebody's still alive in here. So I think that's funny that that's where that person's mind went when they turned the lights off. They thought somebody was alive, interned.
I would go with the dead. I would think it was a dead person.
You would?
I would.
There's such a process now confirming people are dead.
Yeah.
And they have to be dead for days before they're, you know,
it's not true.
Not in their final place.
In most, I mean, that's in a lot of ways that is the process. You are correct, uh-huh. But there are certain religions that require a totally different process that is not so foolproof.
Yeah,
if you will, and some of them follow it to a T, where I could see this happening.
But I doubt that from the time you realize somebody's dead.
Mm-hmm.
That there's not a matter of days there.
Sure. It just depends. There are possibilities.
I know.
This could happen.
I just don't know about that anymore.
Well, let's go spend some time in more mausoleums and walk around.
I'll pass. Thanks.
Since you feel they're pretty safe to not have anyone living still in there.
I don't know. It just kind of, they bother me more than just walking around a cemetery.
Why? Is it because they're like all against the walls and if an earthquake happened, the doors could fall off and they could fall out? And
I don't know.
You're going to be covered in...
I don't know what it is. It just kind of creeps me out a little bit
more. They are creepy.
Yeah.
They are. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, my name is Jessica Riddle. I am 26 years old, and I have been listening to your show for the last 2 weeks or so on Spotify. It's really, really awesome. I started out with the paranormal show, and then I've been listening to the Dream Meaning show recently. And it got me thinking. I've always had a reoccurring dream since as long as I can remember. I mean, probably since I was 3 or 4. And it stopped after I was about 14, probably when I was in, like, middle school. And I kind of blacked it out for a long time, so it's really foggy. I don't remember all the super, super specific details. But when I was looking on your website about, like, different types of dreams and stuff, I saw that there was a thing about clown dreams. And it's always freaked me out, but I've never had, like, a fear of clowns or anything. So my dream was, and I used to wake up in the middle of the night crying. I couldn't go to sleep. I don't remember how it started, but what I do remember from the dream was that I couldn't wake up out of it. And I heard you guys talking about, like, sleep paralysis and stuff, so I don't know if it had anything to do with that. But I would be sitting on the ground at my grandma's house, and she had an upstairs that had, like, the center of the floor cut out with a railing around it. So we would sit and put our feet out the railing and just, like, look down into the living room. And so that's kind of where my dream starts in my brain nowadays. I'm sitting there with my legs hanging out the railing, and I'm looking down, and all my family is down there, like, eating and stuff, and, like, my cousins are upstairs. And in my dream, I'm probably 6 or 7, and I'm sitting there, and then I look down, and I start to fall down through the railing. And as I'm falling down through the railing, I don't hit a ground. I don't hit anything. I see my grandma's face, and her face, like, morphs into this clown's face. And it's not like a creepy clown, but it gave me this really bad feeling. But it was weird because I was falling. I never hit a ground, though. I just keep falling. And, like, I see this clown face, and then I fall into something else. And it's like I'm taking a big, deep breath, but I never exhale, and I can't let out my breath or anything. And then I just fall into, like, this open field. And I'm sitting there, and I try to wake up, and I can't wake up. And I lay down, and I close my eyes, and I squeeze them real hard, and I open them, and I think I'm awake. And so I start getting up and getting out of bed and going about my day. And then something really eerie happens. Sometimes it changes. It'll be like my dad will turn into some monster or like some weird person comes around that I've never seen before. And I realize I'm still dreaming. And I get stuck in this loop where I can't get out of the dream. So I'm like constantly sitting there and not knowing if I'm awake or not. And I remember like... I'd wake up crying and my mom would have to wake me up, and I never knew if I was actually awake or not. And so I would just lay there trying not to go back to sleep, but it was the middle of the night and I was really little, you know. So I would eventually fall back asleep, but she'd have to like sing me Christmas songs or like get my head in some other place. But I've always wondered what that meant and why I couldn't wake up, and it freaks me out like thinking about it now. And it happened over and over and over again. But to give you some background on kind of what was going on in my life as my childhood, I wasn't necessarily molested, but I was touched by a male babysitter. I actually blacked it out, so I barely remember much of it, but that had happened, and a couple of my cousins had been molested, and things were just kind of weird in our family at that time. And then I don't know. My mom, there's just been lots of things. Like, me and my mom got trapped in a bathroom by this black guy one time. He had his arm over the door, and he wouldn't let us out. And she was screaming, and nobody'd come. And we eventually, like, got out because he ran away. But just stuff like that happened to us all the time. And it kind of, like, follows her around. So I think that obviously has something to do with it. But the whole not knowing if you're awake and not being able to wake up out of your dream, and I always see this same clown's face. And I remember the specific place we were living at the time, too. It really felt like haunted. I don't know. I never knew what it was, but I always got this weird vibe from there. And I'm a very sensitive person. Like, I can feel other people's emotions, and I have to differentiate what's mine and what's theirs. It's taken me a long time to learn about people projecting their emotions, and I just pick up on it real quick. But that's it. So if you'll have any information on it or interpretations on what it could be, just let me know. I'm really interested to see what you guys think. Love your show. It's awesome. I'm going to be listening to it every single day now at work. So helps me get through my day. Thank you all so much. All right, bye.
I think that would be terrible to have a recurring dream where it's a clown.
Yeah.
What do you think that means? Because you're the dream guy.
What does a clown mean in a dream?
Yeah, what does that mean?
A lot of times it means uncertainty. It means a sense of anxiety, a sense of just not feeling, I don't want to say stable, but
secure,
I guess is the word I'm looking for. Secure in some aspect of your life. And as far as what that aspect is, as we have to tie other parts of the dream together, and how does it all seem to coincide? And it seemed to kind of make some sense there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, clowns don't necessarily mean a bright, happy, cheery day and that you're going to get a balloon out of it, unfortunately.
No.
The clown, it must be like a very frustrating thing about being a clown is, I think if you are a clown, you probably go into it for, well, hopefully you go into it for the right reasons because you like trying to make people smile and laugh, but then you end up realizing that you end up scaring far more people than you do bring joy to.
You have to just realize when you take that on that it's a toss up how people are going to feel about you.
It's not like a, like, maybe 99% of the population outside of the age of 2 don't get scared of Santa Claus. But there may be that 1% that gets freaked out. That's a pretty good ratio if you want to go into the Santa world.
Yeah.
But the clown world, I think you're more like batting 60-40 or worse.
Yeah.
And I don't know which would be which. I'd almost say 60% scared versus 40%. Oh, I love clothes. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll be a difficult one.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. That wraps up today's episode of the show. If you like us, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up to do that over on our website, ghostpodcast.com. Sign up to the website there. You got the options for doing that. Or you can do Patreon as well. That's another option to become an EPP and get the content delivered to you that way at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.